Rentals, every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
That's our job. Become every Arizona homeowner's best friend. And we do that by showing up live every Saturday morning to answer any question you might have about your house, home, castle, or cabin. From the bottom of the foundations to the top of the rooftop, everything in between, we're here as your trusted source. Been on air 36 years. We are now at Rosie on the House, 16 years running, the number one contractor referral network in the entire state of Arizona. So whatever you're thinking about doing, don't even start. Don't touch your house until you check with us here at Rosie on the House. In the 9 o'clock hour, we generally reach out to some of our certified Rosie partners, bring them in studio and talk about a topic in particular. We're talking about one today. It's very dear to my heart. You know, there was a time earlier in my life where I thought I wanted to be an architect. So I actually applied at ASU and was looking into the School of Architecture. And there was a professor there by the name of Cal Straub. And Cal used to have a quote. And I knew Cal of him, but I didn't know him. But another one of his students that has since become one of my favorite architects in the entire city of Phoenix, Don Ryden, taught me this. He said, every home should have 14 stations of the beer. And how many of those need to be in the backyard? So this hour, we're bringing in Tom and Brian Booth of Booth Built Patio Products to talk about everything that's possible to build those refreshment stations in the backyard. And the covered patio would be one of those, wouldn't it, Tom?
No doubt.
We'll call it 14 stations of refreshment. How's that?
That works for me.
But that was one of Cal's favorite quotes. Every house should have 14 stations of the beer and or wine or choice, your beverage of choice. So, Tom, tell us a little bit about Booth Built Patio Products. You've been a Rosie certified partner for as long as I can remember.
It's been quite a while.
It has.
But I've been doing this since 1982, and mostly in the Northwest Valley. When we first started, it seemed that all of our work was in the retirement communities. But it's since grown as the valley has expanded, and everybody needs shade. So many people move here from other states, places like the Pacific Northwest or Illinois, where it's gray and dismal a lot, and they want to be outside. The only problem is it's a little hot.
It can be.
They need shade.
You know, that's the only reason Arizona doesn't have 20 million people.
That's
the
right.
Summer. So y'all can get out there and not only create a comfortable environment, but I mean, your website's beautiful with some of the products y'all have done.
Thank you.
How do you go about even meeting with a client and establishing, where is this going to go?
Yeah, so at the initial meeting, when somebody reaches out to us, we set an appointment and we meet with them. And one of the first questions is, we're going to ask them, how are you using this space now? And how would you really like to use it?
Yeah.
So a lot of people are afraid to darken their homes. So they might go to something with a partial shade, like what we call our open lattice pergola.
Okay.
Or they might have a louvered roof. But more often than not, it's going to be the lattice work.
Now, how about someone that wants a lattice work, but they want some air circulation? Can you mount a fan on a lattice patio?
We can. It's no pun intended. We don't, recommend you put a fan on a lattice patio cover because it's going to be more open to the elements.
Sure.
When it rains, the dust and what have you. So the pun is no, we're not a big fan of a fan on a lattice cover.
Okay, good. That's good to know, important to know.
But it can be done.
Now, how big can these be? Or how small can they be? Give me a range.
Well, to be effective, something that's attached to the house and you want to get some shade on a window area, you would need to come out about 6 to 8 feet minimum. Otherwise, it's just not going to be of great value to accomplish what you want. But as far as how large they can be, it's going to be driven by and large, by the zoning, how close you can get to the rear property line.
Yeah, we actually did our biggest patio cover ever last year in Glendale, and it was 2,100 square feet.
Oh, yeah, that's a venue.
That's bigger than my house.
It's bigger than my house, too. So.
We're here talking with Tom and Brian Booth of Booth Built Patio Products. If you'd like to join the conversation or have any questions about the potential for your backyard, give us a ring at 1-888-767-4348.
So what went under this 2,100 square feet? I mean, like artificial putting green, cornhole, pool table, outdoor TV, kitchen. I mean, that's a lot of space you can do.
Yeah, so this particular customer, he had, it was probably a 60-foot wide old wooden patio cover, and he ended up removing that and, you know, doing some roof work, and we extended out from there. He's a musician and has a lot of people over from, you know, get-togethers and everything, so he wanted a big open space, and he's got some little dogs that he likes to keep in that area as well. So it's a, you know, bigger property over in, 59th Avenue, Greenway area, the bigger acre lots. But, mostly for entertaining and, those get-togethers that, you know, he was looking for, so...
And then once you've got that little area shaded, I mean, there's like you talk about, keeping dogs, Romy mentioned cornhole. There's so many things you can do. I mean, invariably somebody's going to put a barbecue out there, right? Maybe a kitchen sink, a big screen TV.
All of the above.
Now, you mentioned he took down an old wooden one. When's the last wooden patio cover you built?
Never.
Let's talk about the materials you're using and why.
So everything that we use is aluminum. And we use aluminum because it doesn't need to be sanded, doesn't need to be painted. It's as close to maintenance-free as you can get. Our full-shade solid patio covers don't need to be re-roofed. They just hold up, you know, virtually for a lifetime. Where wood, that's not the case. Another point about a solid patio cover, we do have engineering that supports we can attach to a fascia, so people have a 2-foot overhang, and we can add on to that so you're not having to cut off the roof, have the expense of cutting off the roof, and add back square footage that was already there.
Which is good, because for a long time that was the only way to do it right, was you had to cut in, put your material on top of the top plate of the home, and then redo the patio, the roof connecting the patio. That was the only way to do it right for so long. But now you've got the engineering where don't have to disrupt any existing structure.
Exactly.
Yeah, we've seen it all in the 47 years we've been building and remodeling. But invariably, a do-it-yourself back patio cover that's attached to the fascia with more wood framing is not only dangerous, but it's not the code. You couldn't have pulled a building permit for that. And then the other thing that scares me a lot is when people will sink a 4x4 post 12 feet out from the fascia, two of them, and then mount a shade sail to that and the fascia. I've actually seen a 20-foot piece of fascia on a sail, on a shade sail that's draped over the neighbor's yard, you know.
Yeah, they don't call it a shade sail for nothing.
For nothing, that's right. Yeah.
I had a great picture from the Casa Grande Dispatch newspaper of a home that had done a wood patio to the fascia and attached it, and the wind came through, and not only did it rip the whole patio off, but they attached it so well to the home, it tore the side of the siding off to the home, too. So they did a really good job attaching it, but they didn't do a proper job anchoring on the outside, and it was too heavy of a structure because it wasn't the aluminum.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about where these can go. When y'all are dealing with properties of all type, you mentioned the larger property, and you're not fighting setbacks so much. But you also mentioned you started in the retirement communities where lots are a little tighter. What are you having to consider in the way of crowding your neighbor or crowding the backyard? Generally speaking, how close can you get to that side or backyard?
Well, It varies by city, but like, for instance, in the Sun City, in the original Sun City area and parts of Sun City West, they have a 25-foot rear setback, but they have much bigger lots. And then when they started building the smaller homes in what they call the expansion area, it got down to 15 feet. So you can be as close as 15 feet to the rear property line. Freestanding structures can be closer to the property line, so they become popular when you have a zoning restriction.
Okay.
But the benefit of something that's attached to the house is that you need less posts. You have more stability because it's now connected to something that's really solid, your home. And, you know, you can transition from walking out your home onto your patio directly. So, you know, there are benefits for that.
I have a good friend that actually works here at KTAR, and it's a large lot, a very large lot. It's over an acre. And he called me out to the house. He says, I want to put the kitchen out there, way out there. I said, no, you don't. Don't do that. You'll never, ever use it. You think you will, but you won't. So we redesigned it. We brought it all the way in against the back patio, and he's thanked me many times. We get a lot more use out of it right there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it gets old making that long walk back. You know, you got to put that kitchen somewhere.
Especially if you forget salt.
Yeah.
Or, you know, spatula or, yeah, you know, one item. That becomes quite...
You're getting your steps in. Yeah.
For sure.
So we're here this morning with Tom and Brian Booth of Booth Built Patio Products, Rosie's certified partner, as it relates to creating outdoor environments. If you'd like to join the conversation, you're welcome to dial us at 1-888-767-4348, or you can text us
411-923, email info@rosieonthehouse.com.
'Cause I won't stay inside no more, no more. I cannot wait to go outdoors.
And that's what we're talking about, getting you outdoors into your backyard. If you're contemplating redoing the backyard, re-landscaping the backyard, I would just encourage you to stop and finish listening to the rest of this hour, because we're talking about building those environments in the backyard that can make a difference as to something you're going to put up and never use or something you're going to get out there and use. Backyard shade covers, ramadas, pergolas, porch, patio covers, cantilevers, all made of nearly maintenance-free aluminum. Talk about that product a little bit. We're not talking about aluminum the thickness of a downspout.
Absolutely not.
We're talking about some pretty bulky stuff.
For sure. It's not soda can aluminum. That's what people often think. And then when people hear aluminum patio cover, their mind often goes to a mobile home park where it looks pretty, you know, pretty dated and not exactly attractive. But the products we use are called Weatherwood or Lumawood, and they're all components that are made with a roll-formed aluminum, and they have a cedar embossed texture to look like wood. It comes in about 8 or 9 different colors depending on the vendor, and it looks like wood. We've built these structures and had neighbors say, wow, you guys built that fast, and it's already painted. Yeah, it is. We bought it that way.
Gotta love that, yeah, for sure. And now, I can opt for a four-legged patio cover ramada. What's the difference between a ramada and a pergola?
I think it's just a phrase.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I mean, I think pergola, typically people, you know, think of the partial shade roof. Ramada is going to be your full solid roof.
Okay.
So full shade, full waterproof protection, and so on. So, I mean, there's just different names for, you know, it's kind of how it's morphed over the years.
All right, Brian, talk about those four posts. I've got a patio slab 3.5 inches thick that I'd like to mount on top of that. You going to be able to bolt straight to that?
Generally not.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, generally not for a freestanding structure. You're going to need a footing with a post embedded in the ground. So we can, you know, if you already have a slab, we can usually work, you know, around the slab. You know, we've had people cut concrete to, you know, if they're dead set on having a post in a certain location, we can have a concrete cutter come out and get us underneath the ground so we can do, you know, put the footing in and have that anchoring that way. there's, you know, newer products coming out. One of the ones that I'm using a lot is a product called 4K aluminum. I mean, it's heavy duty. Some of the posts are quarter inch thick. They're 8x8, quarter inch thick, and that's what we're using for, you know, a lot of our cantilevered structures.
Or something that's 2,100 square feet.
Yeah, yeah, or 2,100 square feet. Yeah, exactly.
Well, so, we were talking earlier about code requirements as far as setbacks and whatnot, and you were talking about what footings are required. When do you need to pull a permit to put one of these up?
So, anything with the post spacing 200 square feet and less, and it's not attached to the home, you don't need a building permit for.
Okay.
So most of the cities are, you know, they fall in line with that. But you're still going to have to adhere to the setbacks, and there's some height requirements in certain cities where if you're over 9 feet, you have to adhere to those setbacks. So you got to kind of know the rules and what you're dealing with.
Now, am I right in my assumption? The minute I trench, put conduit, a switch, and a light out there, I have to have a permit.
Yes, you do. For electric, for sure.
Or plumbing as well, right?
Yeah, but not necessarily for that structure.
For the structure itself.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
So you've got the four posts. Your website's full of these like mid-century, modern, sharp-looking two posts. What do you call those?
So those are our cantilevered structures. Those are definitely, you know, gaining popularity over the last, you know, I'd say 4 years. And
it's a sharp, clean look.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, very modern, very contemporary, kind of the clean lines that, you know, is, you know, always in style, but seems to be, you know, very much in style these days.
You've got two less posts in the way of your traffic pattern.
Yeah. So it frees up space and, you know, it's, yeah, it's eye-catching. It's, you know, it's a really sharp look. It, you know, you can differentiate yourself from, you know, what the neighbor next door has, which, you know, sometimes is important to people. But, you know, a lot of times we're doing these around kitchens and people want, you know, a nice big dining room table to be able to sit out there and, you know, have friends and family over, or, you know, a drink station, you know.
Yeah.
Refreshment stand.
Yeah, refreshment stand, that's right.
I like the visibility without the two extra posts, but Tom told me something funny the other day when we were visiting. He said that he had a customer asked if there was such a thing as a cantilever with how many posts?
Zero.
Tom, zero?
Zero.
What was your answer, Tom?
A floater.
The impossible we do immediately. Yeah. Miracles take a little longer.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd want to see that trick, though, if you can pull it off.
Yeah.
One of the pictures that's in our blog that goes out on Tuesday talking about, you know, that's 8 to 1,200 words. It's a very small preview of what we covered during the broadcast and the entire hour. But there's an image with one of these two posts going towards the home, and it's butt up next to the structure of the home. It's not connected, but it's butt up. Could you flip that around the other way to shade the pool?
It could be. That particular photo, it doesn't show in that photo, but that structure is about 10 feet away from the pool. So imagine you come out of the pool and there are no posts right there, but you're, you know, within a few feet of being in the shade. So that's a very common application, you know, for that. And that happens to be a very small lot in Surprise. And, you know, so having less posts to congest the areas is important to the people.
I like it. Looks real good.
And is there enough structural that you could, you know, it's a two post and it goes 10 feet towards the house. Could you do 10 feet the other way, like a T, and have it both directions?
Well, we haven't. I think we would run into zoning issues, you know, going so far back. But I suppose it could be done. Just have to get with the engineer.
Let's call it a stay-at-home vacation by creating the environment in your backyard that would invite you out. You would look out the back kitchen door and you'd say, I can't not go out there. I've just got to go out there and grab myself a chair and a cold iced tea and sit there and enjoy it. You can see some of the examples on Booth Built's products at their website, and that's boothbuilt.com. We're here with Tom and Brian Booth from Booth Built Building Products and want to talk a little bit about, we've talked a lot about the shade pergolas. How about if I want to sit out? I like, when it's raining, that's when I like to go sit outside. Ryan, what do you do with that?
So, you know, our primarily used products are interlocking flat panel roof. It's a single skin roof. It's going to give you the shade. It's not going to be, you know, you're not going to be able to walk on it or anything like that. But from underneath, it's going to look like a tongue and groove ceiling that you don't have to maintain. And that's, like I said, it's just going to give you the shade. And then we also have an insulated roof panel. It's a 3-inch thick panel by 48 inches wide. So you can actually walk on that, and they have panels with electrical raceway channels inside of it, so you can hang ceiling fans or have light fixtures or, you know, whatever you're looking for. Primarily those were used for enclosing a patio, but nowadays people are using them for these, you know, modern cantilever structures are for, you know, it is being used more just for a, you know, people that don't want that tongue and groove style look.
Brian, what do you do when
you want tongue and groove style look?
I don't know. It's, you know, it's my favorite.
Now, with a west exposure, how do you break that western sun in the afternoon? You've got the shade overhead, but as that sun sets in the west, you're losing that overhead shade. How do y'all create that environment?
Yeah, so there's going to be, you know, times of the day that you're just going to get in some angled sunlight. So depending on, you know, the space and what's designed, you know, we can do a privacy screen where we can put, you know, our 2x6s or 3x8s or, you know, 1x4 slats, and you can space them an inch apart or, you know, whatever you're looking for to kind of break up that afternoon sun. There's companies that do the drop-down shades as well. You can attach those to our structures. Those are popular because it gives you some, you know, variability of if you want it up at certain times or down at certain times, whereas, you know, the privacy walls, they're, you know, a permanent piece and, you know, there's no adjusting it. So.
You know, Jennifer and I just returned a couple weeks ago from the National Kitchen and Bath Show, and it was probably the most expensive trip I've ever taken because Jennifer's in the process of designing her dream home. And so she wasn't there. We usually go to the Kitchen and Bath Show as research journalist. Uh-huh. Oh, she was there as a shopper.
Oh, boy.
and she stumbled into a shaded patio cover display, a Zenko. And this was a product that really caught her eye. It was a shade pergola with automated slats that would close and give you a solid roof. She got hung up in that booth for a while, and she said, well, do you have anybody in Arizona that does that? And the guy said, well, yeah, Tom Booth. Do you know him? Said, yeah, we just happen to know Tom.
Yeah.
That's a pretty incredible product.
It is. It's actually a brand new product line for us. Right now they're located in Florida, manufactured in Florida. One of the benefits of them, I mean, it's an amazing business that they have. All of the components that they have, they manufacture to those specifications and they ship it to you so that basically you're assembling it on the job. But, you know, you're just putting the pieces together that they've cut in a factory. They have a leg up on a lot of manufacturers because over in Europe, they actually install these too. So they understand the problems that we have on this side of the manufacturing, and they can solve those quicker. Another benefit they have is the gentleman who owns one of the owners is the engineer. So when dealers say, hey, you know, we're having these kinds of problems, you know, he's able to work those out much quicker. The louvered roof is, without a doubt, is going to be the most expensive option for somebody.
Yeah.
But it's the one that provides you both.
Both.
Both. You know, you can have the full shade, so when it's raining, you can be out there. You want to have, it's at that time of year, you want to have some light in your house, but, you know, you can angle those slats so you're getting indirect light and what have you. So it's really an amazing product. And without a doubt, the best louvered roof that I've seen on the market.
And you convert it from louvered to solid roof with a electric remote control or a hand crank, or how's that done?
Electric. Button. Push a button on either remote control or it could be a switch on the wall as well.
Now I remember, Rosie, it doesn't have gutters in built into.
Yeah, to take the water away.
Yeah.
But my question was, okay, I'm not going to have a Ramada that doesn't have like a massive mesquite tree on the west side creating that shade block. So it's going to grow up over on top of this, and I'm going to have the roof slats closed. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to bring my tea out there, and I'm going to get in my Adirondack chair, and then I'm going to push open. What happens to all the leaf litter that's sitting up on that roof?
So, you know, for people... you know, in that situation, this comes with instructions.
Okay.
It says push the button before you sit underneath the patio cover.
All right, I'd have to read the instructions.
Well, that would be a first. He would get the leaf litter and then look at the book.
But we were pretty impressed with that product.
It was beautiful.
I mean, you could look at the samples they had constructed there, and you could tell that was a fine engineered manufactured product.
And another aspect that this company offers is that when you sell your first product, they have one of their lead guys come out and actually build that with you, so that, you know, they're training you to do it the right way, so that you know, it not only protects their reputation, but the people, the consumer gets exactly what they're supposed to get.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the basic pergola, the basic Ramada. I want a 4-post. 250, 300 square foot, detached off the back of the house, about 8 or 10 feet. Brian, can you give us an idea? What range would I spend for something like that?
Yeah, so for our roll form products, you know, the Weatherwood, Alumawood, you know, products, those are going to be, you know, in the $30 to $40 square foot range. What's going to, you know, make that square foot price go up is electrical items, lighting, fans, you know, that's
And that's the shaded pergola.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, shaded pergola. And we can do lights in our, you know, open lattice style roof as well.
I was sitting here looking at pictures, thinking through that. Can you run conduit through the aluminum to hide it, the wires, and then drill through it, or...
Yeah, so we hide all of our wiring.
You don't have to see any extra conduit.
No.
Aftermarket on that. Nice.
No, at the very most, you know, we would put a junction box, you know, somewhere hidden, you know, that you're not going to see it, and then, you know, everything is ran internally inside the structure. So
that's your simple 4-post.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, under 200 square foot, no permit.
Yeah.
Over 200, or if you're running electric, or if you're running plumbing, we need to get a permit. I imagine, do most of the cities cooperate with y'all? Y'all can do permits pretty quick.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not under long engineering reviews and all that stuff, are you?
No.
Well.
yeah.
When you get to 2,100 square feet.
that permit went very smooth.
Oh, okay. Wow. But nice.
For Glendale, too. So.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, there's, right now, I'd say most of the cities are, you know, 3 to 4 weeks, you know, permit turnaround time. My brother does all of our permitting. So,
okay.
You know, like our roll form product, we've got, you know, pre-stamped engineering.
Yes.
And we do, all, you know, call out the details and submit it. And, you know, generally we'll have that in 3 to 4 weeks. The cantilever, you know, totally custom structures, those are going to need site-specific engineering. And
yes.
I have, you know, work with an engineering firm out here that puts together those plans. I put together what the client wants, send it to them. They tell me the footings I need and all that, and then we submit that to the city, and then we get our building permit that way. So.
And we talked about pricing for that 4-post shaded, partial shade pergola type. How about if I want a solid roof? That does it drive the price up a great amount?
Not a ton. You know what will change the cost from a solid roof to a lattice roof is generally our footings are going to be a little bit bigger for a solid roof because you have more uplift, you know, chance. So we'll just have a little bigger footing for those. But you know, it's not a huge cost difference on you know, total material.
Generally speaking, what square foot price are we talking for a solid roofed structure?
It's in the same price range. You know, I'd say 30 to 45. You know, a square foot.
Okay, and then all of yours that you show, that's just the structure itself. Like Tom mentioned earlier, you want that barbecue, you want that fire pit, you want that ceiling fan, you want that misting system, you want the space heaters, you want the big screen TV. That just goes on top of that.
That goes on top of it, yeah.
Those, extra amenities.
Yeah, those extra amenities.
Now let's talk about that cantilever. Does the cantilever, if I want to get rid of those two posts are really going to interfere with my traffic pattern, my chair layout, my my floor space. Where are we in that price range?
So on those, the cantilevered ones, if we're in that non-permit range, you're going to be somewhere in that $60 to $80 a square foot range. You get into the permitted cantilever structures, you're going to be $90 to $120 a square foot for, you know, something that's more than 200 square feet, just because there's, you know, much more engineering involved. There's, you know, the footings are much, much larger. You know, I have a project going on in Maricopa County right now, and the footings are 94 inches long by 24 inches deep by 36 inches wide. And, you know, rebar mats on the top and bottom, rebar through the posts. There's a lot, you know, a lot that goes into it.
Wow.
So, yeah. There's only two of them.
Well, let me ask you this. If I'm thinking right now for the summer, I'd like a new shade structure in the backyard. From the first meeting to the design to the scheduling, the material ordering, the starter work, the finish, from beginning to end, what kind of time frame could a homeowner expect?
For, you know, for the non-permitted ones, I'd say, you know, right now we're running 4 to 6 weeks on those. Materials, you know, reasonably easy to get now. You know, we're through all the COVID craziness and delays. So we can get material within a week. I mean, we have great relationships with all of our vendors. The permitted structures, just as long as we're getting the permits in a reasonable amount of time and they're sending them to us, you know, I'd say in that 6 to 7 week range as well. But, you know, we've got, you know, plenty of crews and guys that, you know, are eager to work. So, I mean, we can turn around projects pretty quickly.
And when you're talking about getting materials, do you send them the specs and they cut everything at the manufacturer and fabricate it? So when it arrives, you know, you're really just constructing it and all the fasteners.
Yeah, yeah. For the most part, I mean, our rafters will be what we need. You know, if we're doing a 24 by 12, we'll get a 24 foot beam. We'll have 12 foot rafters and 24. So it is pretty much, you know, ready to go. You know, there's some minor cutting that we have to do for, you know,
sure,
establishing heights and so on. So
because this material isn't something that you see anywhere. It's not like you go down the hardware store or lumber supplier and pick this up. This is
This is this is the 4K. This is out of Vegas in California, and you know, they're going to have set lengths. This we're going to, you know, have to order a little bit long and cut down and, you know, customize on site.
Now, we've told homeowners they can find you on our website, Rosie on the House, and they'll get to boothbuilt.com. But if somebody wanted to talk to y'all, visit, set that first appointment, how would you like them to reach out to you?
They can call our office, 623-979-3339. They'll probably speak with Marissa in our office, and she'll get someone set up and scheduled to come out to your home and discuss it.
Very good. Welcome back to Rosie on the House, where we're here talking outdoor shade and cover products with Booth Built Patio Products with Tom and Brian Booth, Rosie Certified Backyard Specialist. We always kind of like to highlight the company itself. Tom, you mentioned a little bit about how long you've been doing it. Let's talk about what sets you apart.
Well, first and foremost, we treat everybody the way we want to be treated. We meet with people. We listen as carefully as we can. And what we will do is after that meeting, we will draw up a plan. We use a CAD light program called TurboCAD, and we will actually email them a plan so that they can review what, you know, and be sure that we've captured exactly what they would like. And once we've done that, we work up a proposal. And we send that to them as well. Sometimes it's, in this digital age, most people prefer that we send all that stuff digitally and then they can make a decision. We never twist people's arms, or we don't say, hey, if you sign up in the next 10 minutes, you know, you'll save a dollar. That's not how we roll. We don't start out high to end up where we are. We give people where we want to be, rather. We give the people the price that, you know, fair price that based on their selections that they've made. We do things by appointment, whether that's our sales call, installations. We keep people informed. A few weeks after somebody would sign an agreement, we would give them what we call a courtesy call. Hey, Mr. Jones, this, you know, we have tentatively scheduled your job for the week of such and such, which is usually about 2 to 3 weeks out. I mean, at that point in the process, we're probably still waiting for the permit, but we expect for, you know, for these things to fall in place. And then shortly before we are going to start, we give them a confirmation call to make sure that, hey, does this date work for you? Do you need to be home for it? So on and so forth. And then the same thing we do, even service calls by appointment. I value my time, so I value your time. So, you know, somebody calls in and say, hey, you know, something has, I need something checked out, warranty type work. We'll schedule an appointment and give them a time window, maybe between 10 and 12 or something like that. And we follow through. If something happens, we're going to be late. We call you and like I say, treat people the way we want to be treated. Don't leave them hanging.
You've been Rosie certified for a good long while, and I can't tell you the comments we get back at the office about the work y'all do. So we appreciate the partnership. We appreciate y'all treating customers like that. Now, we've talked about the four-legged shade structure. We've talked about the shade lattice. We've talked about the full shade, full roof. We've talked about the cantilevered. We've talked about the roof that louvers open to close. But y'all also do screen rooms?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah, we do screen enclosures. You know, it seems like more days people are doing those for their pets, you know, have a safe spot for them to go and, you know, hang out, you know, whether it's kind of have an inside term. We call them catios. People like to have their cats out there.
So catios. I love it. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, whatever you're looking to use the space for, you know, I mean, it's your house and we want to help you, you know, make it the way you want it to be.
I have a neighbor that just built a pretty significant second story. And the window of that second story looks right down on the one half of my yard. That kind of bothers me. How about privacy screens?
Yeah, so, you know, we don't do the drop-down shades, but we do the standalone. We can do a metal privacy wall to, you know, some people they've got view fences and the houses are close together and, you know, you feel like you're sitting on your patio and you're sitting on your patio with your neighbor.
Yeah,
so
that's
sometimes
right.
People just need that little bit of, you know, blockage to make them feel like, hey, I'm out here by myself.
Could you order the aluminum uncoated so it just shines right back into them and all this big reflection?
Yeah, we don't need to have this material powder coated. You can get it mill finish.
How would people get a hold of y'all?
You can call our office, 623-979-3339. You'll most likely get a hold of Marissa. I just redid our website in the last year.
It looks good.
Boothbuilt.com. You can reach out to us via email. A lot of people reach out to us that way.
Yeah, you actually have a request a quote form right there on the homepage.
Yeah. We try to make it as easy as possible for people to get a hold of us and, you know, start that, you know, conversation.
So. And it's not your primary, but we have a texter wanting rain gutters. I mean, that's something y'all offer as well.
It is.
Yeah. We do seamless rain gutters, you know, residential, for catching the rainwater off the roof and diverting it to, you know, a better location.
It's something that's not standard in Arizona just because builders can get away with not putting it in, but that, you know, a lot of the way these roofs are designed when that rain hits and keeping that water from pooling and ponding at your foundation is critical in a lot of areas.
Yeah, we get 8 to 10 inches of rain a year, it seems like, in about 4 rainstorms.
It can be that way.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your service area real quick before we have to sign off here. You're talking to almost the whole state of Arizona. Where are y'all operating?
Well, we basically, in the Northwest Valley, we service Phoenix, Scottsdale, and then the very far west, all the way to, you know, Buckeye, and some projects in Wickenburg as well. But Goodyear, Sun City, Peoria, Glendale.
It's Booth Built. Available at what phone number?
623-979-3339.
Guys, we appreciate y'all coming in and sharing your wisdom and your experience on creating those backyard spaces in the backyard that can be one of the 14 stations of refreshment.